Hi, I'm Sarah Rose with GPB News, and I'm here at the Center for Puppetry Arts in downtown Atlanta in their special exhibit for Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal, and I'm joined by Jill Malul, who's the museum director here. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
How are you? Now, full disclosure before we get into this, I am a huge nerd and actually a pretty big Dark Crystal fan.
That's really fantastic. We're really glad you're here.
Great. So tell me a little bit about this exhibit. You know, when I walk through this, I see so much love for this series, and it's such an interesting chapter in Jim Henson's portfolio, not necessarily well known like some of the other stuff, but certainly has kind of curated a cult following over the years. Why was it so important for this exhibit to be at the Center for Puppetry Arts?
So the impetus behind this exhibit came from my predecessor, Kelsey Fritz, who co-curated this exhibition with me. We had done a special exhibit a couple of years prior on Labyrinth, which was wildly successful. It unfortunately happened to hit right at the time when David Bowie passed away, so it sort of served as a catharsis for people to come here and see the exhibit and say goodbye. And as that happened, Kelsey was thinking about how the Dark Crystal really led into Labyrinth and how important it was. And even if people didn't care for the Dark Crystal, a lot of people love Labyrinth and also Star Wars, which was another film that was greatly impacted by the creation of the Dark Crystal. And so she wanted to tell that story. And I think it's a really important story to tell. Now, I have to confess, I too am a big nerd, but nice. Dark Crystal was not... I was two when the movie came out in 1982. And
I wasn't alive.
And... I've always kind of shied away from anything that seemed scary, and when I would see it on TV growing up, I would be like, oh, what is that? And just change the channel. So I hadn't seen the film the way that I needed to see it until I was an adult. And once I started doing the research for this exhibit, once I learned more about the Dark Crystal and how it fit into the overall work of Jim Henson, I really started to develop a wonderful appreciation for it. And so I hope that when people come to this exhibit, if they're like me and they maybe didn't quite get the Dark Crystal, they'll see it and maybe have a new appreciation for the film, maybe watch the new Netflix series that just came out.
This might be a hard question to answer succinctly, but for people who haven't really been initiated to the Dark Crystal, maybe they've heard of it, they know of it as like part of Jim Henson's portfolio, how would you describe the film?
So it is one of the very few films at the time, and still today, that was created entirely with puppets.
Yeah.
It was set in this completely different world, Thra, where these different puppets all lived as creatures, and they interacted. And so there is a creature called a Gelfling who has to save this world by reuniting a crystal shard with a giant crystal, which is connected to the planet Thra. And so they go through a whole series of events that happen. And once they are able to reunite that crystal, then you discover that the Skeksis, who are kind of the main bad guys in the film, and the Mystics, who are these gentle, loving creatures, are actually one. And then they, you know, reunite and leave the planet because they were aliens. So it was really interesting plot theming. I mean, that sort of thing wasn't really done a whole lot yet. And
It was really unique for Jim Henson,
yeah.
Because, I mean, we knew him from The Muppets,
yep.
From
Sesame Street.
But this was a dramatic film.
Yes, yes.
And one of the first, really, that was done with puppets and done in his style. And you see the roots of that in so many other things. I mean, Frank Oz worked on this.
Yep.
He was known for being Yoda and
yep.
doing so much with Lucasfilm. Talk to me a little bit about how this film sort of extended beyond just its time in film and really created like the next couple of years of its genre.
So what's really interesting about The Dark Crystal is it came out in 1982. The idea really started germinating in 1976. So it was this really long process of putting this together. And as that process happened, they developed what would later become the Jim Henson Creature Shop, which still exists today. The one that they built all the creatures for The Dark Crystal in was in London, and it has now since moved. There's just one in California. But they developed these techniques with something called foam latex, which was used in a lot of films in that era, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, all kinds of different things, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is also involved with Jim Henson. And while they were developing this, because it was this process where they were just bringing in all these different kinds of creative people, they were like, here, we're going to make something we've never made before, we're going to do it in a way we don't know. And so just all these really creative people got in a room and figured out how to make creatures that would inhabit Thra. And so that was really instrumental. A lot of those people went on to work on other iconic films.
You know, it's interesting to me. There's this whole new sort of league of fans now that are part of my generation that are really coming to love this series. How do you think it's had this whole lasting impact over the years to where it's, you know, on Netflix now, there's Tumblr blogs dedicated to this, fan art communities, cosplayers that are in my generation?
I think that Jim Henson Company was actually, Jim Henson himself was always forethinking, but now that he's unfortunately not with us, I think they have continued that same legacy where they were thinking of reviving this story years before other people were really thinking about, like, looking.
Talk about a movie at one point.
Right.
And stuff like that.
And they had a novelization. The novelization was actually more popular than the film. And so that has continued another avenue for it to live on. But at some point they were like, you know what? We want to start exploring these stories again. So they held a contest to have some fan fiction. And through that, they sussed out J.M. Lee, who has now written YA novels in this set in this world and at the same time as that television show. And they did some fan films and they were able to, you know, find some people that had the skills to build creatures as well. And Kristen Dolezky, who won that competition, actually ended up working on Age of Resistance a little bit.
What do you think the series has meant to Jim Henson? I mean, when he was around, I mean, what significance did this hold in his life?
He has said in one of those documentaries that this was one of the projects he was most proud of. And I think it was because he was very proud of all the work that he did, but he wanted to do things that were different. He always wanted to be challenged as an artist. And this was something that was in his heart that he really wanted to do, was create this entirely different world. And he did it very successfully. And even if, you know, the film wasn't necessarily received as the best film ever right when it first came out, over time, people really found it. He really found an audience, and also it really was influential through time and the history of film. So he really did create something that was really important, and I think that's why he was so proud of it.
A lot of people have asked me this, and I don't think you have the inside scoop, but if you do, let me know. Season 2 of Age of Resistance, do you know anything?
I don't. I'm crossing my fingers just like everybody else. But if people haven't seen it, they don't pay me or anything, but I would like to recommend that people watch it. It's really neat to see practical effects come back. Puppetry is such an amazing art. It really can be done so beautifully. There's lots of technical, amazing things behind it.
Who's your favorite Age of Resistance character? There's only one right answer, and you're under a lot of pressure right now to answer correctly.
I have a lot of favorites, but I think my overall favorite is probably Hop.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, I was going to say Deed, but
Deed is fantastic. Is I've wanted to carry around a spoon for like a week after I watched it, and
disappointed
just
disappointed that you
watched it. So, yeah. I should have thought of that. Yep, absolutely.
Jill, thank you so much.